that we can take what God has commanded in ancient times and translate it to us in our present time, because God doesn't change.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. Welcome to another episode of Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast. I'm your host, Moira Gorski. So glad that you're here. It's another one of my favorite days because I get to bring you one of my friends and get to have a conversation with her on this podcast. Today's a special day for me because this is a special friend of mine. Her name is Elena Giacomandennis. I met Elena probably about 6 years ago. We're in the same business together, although she lives quite a ways away from me in New Mexico. But we, again, as it happens with this business, we meet many different people, and Elena and I have become friends. We have become prayer partners, and I really hold her dear in my heart. And, you know, over this journey of with my daughter and her struggles and my struggles, my faith has really been tested and has really taken on a different, you know, it's just become very different for me. You know, when I was faced with these real hard things happening in front of me, it really, again, tested my faith. And I'm so thankful that I was raised in the church, became a Christian in my teenage years by accepting Jesus as my Savior, you know, raised again in the church by loving Christian parents. But as it would be, I think that, at least for me, I think many times I just kind of went through the motions. I did what my parents said that I was supposed to do and went to church and Sunday school and youth group and all those things. But as I moved into adulthood, the faith then needed to become my own. And it did, and went through different phases. But boy, in the last 5 years, my faith, you know, brought me to my knees. This struggle has brought me to my knees, literally, in my kitchen. And I believe that God has never forgotten about me. He has helped me through this journey and continues to. And again, Elena has become a very good friend of mine and someone that I have been able to reach out to and ask for prayer, ask for support. We've actually been, as we'd say, accountability, you know, partners in this business as we've worked to support each other in growing our business. But along the way, she's also been a prayer partner of mine. And so what I want her to share with you today is about a gift that she sent me one day in the mail. I received a box that came from her, and it had something in it that I didn't know anything about. And it is something called a tallit. And she's going to share with you today really what a tallit is. And it, again, it's basically a prayer shawl, a Jewish prayer shawl. And again, she's going to be sharing that with you today, really the origins of it. But it is something that I have come to rely on when I just need to go to prayer and I need to be on my knees and pray real hard. It's something that, again, she'll tell you about here, of how you wrap yourself in it and you really become just connected with God and your Savior and my Savior. And it's, again, been a blessing to me. And I'm always learning. That's what I always say on this. I always love to learn. So Elena had sent me some information so I could learn about it. And I wanted her to come on here today so that you could learn about this tallit and how it perhaps might help you in your prayer life. So that's a long introduction, Elena. So Elena Giacomin Dennis, again, is a friend of mine. She is a mom, a wife, a grandmother, a business owner. She's a business owner four decades in owning her own business. And really, she's been on a spiritual quest for so long in her life. She's always hungry to know God and also to know God's son, Jesus. So welcome today, Elena, to my podcast.
Oh, thank you, Moira. And it's so wonderful to be here with your audience. I'm very excited.
Yes, I'm excited too. So again, it's called a tallit, T-A-L-L-I-T, correct? Right?
Yes.
And in the information that you sent me, I loved the first sentence, if you will, a weapon of our warfare. So why don't you tell us, you know, what you know again about the tallit, what you shared with me, because I think it's really interesting. I knew nothing about it. So I'd love for you to share more about it and how it was used and that
sure.
type of thing.
Happy to do that. Well, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I've been kind of on a 40-year journey of just, well, maybe more than that now, but learning, just wanting to seek and to learn and to understand more about God. And when I was raised as a little girl in the Midwest, I was raised in a Christian home. And but there was always something that was being said about our family having Jewish roots on my mother's side, but we were Italian, and so we couldn't even comprehend the correlation with being Italian and the possibility of having some Jewish blood. It just didn't make any sense to us. Well, after my mom passed away, the cousins on my mother's side kept saying, "No, we're Jewish. We're Jewish." Well, it was just very intriguing because as I was growing up, I was very connected to friends, young friends who were Jewish. I didn't know much about their faith, but I always felt very connected to them. I felt very connected to Judaism, even though I knew nothing really about it. And it wasn't until my daughter, my youngest daughter, gave me a DNA test. She said, "Mom, let's just get this over and let's just find out. Are we or not?" And so I took the DNA test, and sure enough, it came back saying that I had an itsy bitsy amount of Jewish heritage. I was absolutely thrilled because for me, it was like, yes, that kind of like lined up and put the pieces together a little bit. And yet now I wanted to know a little bit more. I wanted to know more about my Jewish roots, and I wanted to know the connection. I mean, Jesus was a Jew. You know, he walked with the Jewish people. He observed festivals that they observed. And so now I just wanted to have more of that connection. So I started to learn from a Jewish synagogue here in my town where I live. And I just started seeking out other information. And one of the things that I began to learn about was this prayer shawl that in Judaism is called, in English, called a tallit. And I don't know Hebrew, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Hebrew pronunciations of these things. But it was a beautiful symbol and a recognition. And I'm holding up one here now that you can't even see, but it's a beautiful shawl that has some Hebrew writing on the collar of it. And then on the ends, on the four corners, are these kind of like fringes. Well, they're fringes, but they're strings that are tied into knots. And the knots have significance. They kind of represent the precepts that God gave to Moses and gave to the Jews. And so I learned a little bit more that when we are wanting to seek God further and want to go into a secret place, the tallit can be used. Mostly it was used by men and boys in Judaism. But women who are seeking God are also looking to find their secret place. And so when I go into prayer, Moira, or when I'm struggling a bit about something, I will go into my secret place by putting my tallit over my head and hanging on to the fringes and there's four of them that are on this little tallit. And the reason that I do that and hold on to these little fringes and kind of put them between my fingers is because when Jesus was walking here on this earth, he was walking among a crowd and somebody touched him. And I read that in the New Testament, read that in Matthew and Mark, but I never really understood what that meant. The woman touched him and he knew right away that somebody had, that energy had kind of like moved out of his body. And the woman touched him because she had been suffering with an issue, with a medical issue for many, many years. And all she knew is that if she could touch the hem of his garment, that she believed that she could be healed. And so she was. Instantly, she was healed. But he also knew it. And there was a crowd. And the disciples said, you know, like, what are you talking about? Who touched you? There's like a million people around you. But he knew. He knew right away. So the significance of the tallit for me is to go into my secret place, to have communion and to have a connection with my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his son, and to feel like I can be in communication with him at a totally different level. So when I sent you that tallit, it was because I wanted you to find your secret place. I wanted you to wrap yourself up in it and to feel like you could have that very special engagement and connection with the God of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I've done with it. I've hung it in my closet, although it's here in my office now, with knowing that we were going to be speaking about this today. But yeah, I hang on the back of my closet, and I feel like when I need to go to a secret place, I go to my closet. You know, that's that I can close the door and I can be quiet and I can sit on the floor. And I've done just that, wrapped myself in it. And I remember you saying, grab onto the tassels and pull it tight and pull it around you to feel, you know, feel that love, feel that protection. Again, just it's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of art. Again, it's too bad that people can't see this, but go ahead and Google it or find your own tallit. But and I also so appreciated within the last at the end of last year, things were rough. My daughter was in a treatment center, and just things weren't going well. And I just felt like I was coming unhinged and just very sad place again after 5 years of struggle, like how could this continue on? And again, I reached out with just messages, right, to my kind of group of women who have become these prayer warriors for me, and you called me and it meant so much to me. And you said, I remember you saying, grab the tallit, let's pray. And so thankful for that. I won't forget that, you know, upstairs in my bedroom, on my floor, with you, again, praying with me, praying for our daughter, praying for healing. And just really, really powerful and really, you know, very, very special. So thank you.
Listen, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. And you also shared with me, you know, that you've given this as a gift to others, who friends of yours or people that you know. And you shared with me something about a couple that you gave it to, and they used it together. Can you share that too? Because I thought that was really neat what they felt as they were using and praying.
Yes. So I guess as I'm kind of walking life and interacting with people, and, you know, so many people are in pain and they're hurting and they're seeking to have a deeper walk and connection with God. And this couple were struggling with a health challenge. Her husband had been diagnosed with a very serious condition, and she felt desperate, just absolutely desperate. She believed in Jesus, and I, by the way, I call him Yeshua. That's just the Jewish name. So if that pops up, that's why. Mm-hmm. She was a believer. And yet she felt like she, at that moment, didn't have a connection with her God and her Savior. And so I told her about the tallit, like I had mentioned to you, and I sent it to her and her husband, sent them some information about the meaning and how to use it, and they prayed under the tallit together. And she told me that it was so incredible. You know, this isn't magic, right? This is this is just about walking in faith and believing that you can connect with God. And so they prayed under the tallit together, and she said that it gave them such a sense of protection, of peace, and they felt more connected to each other. And they've been walking this journey now over this last year together, this medical condition. And, you know, he's improving, you know, he's not healed, but what has given them the peace that passes all understanding is more than they could ever ask for, because they're not in a place of fear. They're in a place of kind of surrender and confidence, confident that God is hearing their prayers and their needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, again, how many times have we talked about that during this journey of, you know, you've shared with me there, you know, we don't have to, but we can choose to have the faith and have that peace and that we don't understand, right? We don't understand when we're in these struggles, why? You know, why has God, you know, allowed, I don't know if that's the right word, but why are these things happening to us and around us, to others that we love? And it's so hard to understand sometimes. And really, true faith for me is just continuing to work towards having that peace and giving, you know, giving your worries to someone else, right? And giving your worries away so that I can have peace, so that you can have peace. And I feel like, you know, during this journey of that I've been through and that I believe many others, you know, go through, you feel so alone. Mm-hmm. You feel so isolated and nobody understands. And there's plenty of times that I've literally been alone in my home. You know, my daughter's been away, or my kids have been away, or, you know, I'm just alone and alone by myself. But you feel so alone just separated. And again, that no one really understands. And that's part of the purpose of this podcast, that when I felt led to begin it, is to just, I don't want people to feel like they're alone on their journey of struggle. You know, be it that you're dealing with someone with an addiction, or just, again, like you said, so many people are just in pain and they don't have that peace. And again, having a symbol like this, something that we can use to bring us closer to that peace, and just being able to kind of give away our worry to somebody else, something else. And again, not always knowing, because that's what faith's all about, really not always understanding everything. But I know in my life, in my 56 years of life, as I've done these things and chosen to believe and chosen to do different things and to pray, a peace has come over me that's been wonderful, that I can't deny, and you really can't deny, and that there's a higher being, spirit, whatever you want to call it, that is really there guiding us and helping us in, you know, in this journey.
And so, loving us, and loving us right down to the core. You know, there's a traditional Hebrew blessing when you put on the tallit, and I wanted to read it to you and to your audience, because it's, I think it's very beautiful. It says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to wrap ourselves in the tallit." So if God gave this to his people that were wandering in the desert for 40 years and wanted them to be comforted and to know that he was King of the universe and that he wants us to wrap ourselves in him, I just want to bring that forward into 2020, that we can take what God has commanded in ancient times and translate it to us in our present time, because God doesn't change. And as we just become more knowledgeable about what he wants for us and giving us revelations of things that maybe we never learned when we were in Sunday school, mm-hmm. but now he's opening up the windows of heaven and giving us more information that is going to allow us. What I want to do is I want to live a victorious life. And I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to be free of challenges, but it means that you can walk through those challenges with strength, with your chin up. Doesn't mean you don't cry, you know, but that you feel like something is bigger than you, and that it's not just humanistic. You know, we can kind of get all wrapped up in woo-woo things. But for me, this is so much greater than that, because I realize that the God of the universe has given us, and this is just one act of faith that we can observe and use in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's lovely. Thank you for helping us learn more about that. I always like to ask my guests if they're reading, because I love to read and I love to learn. So do you have any books that, and I know, again, you've been again on this spiritual quest to learn more and more. So do you have any recommendations of books that you can tell us about that's helpful for, that have been helpful on your faith journey, that could be helpful for others?
Well, I can tell you of three books that I'm reading right now. one is called The Circle Maker, and it's by Mark Batterson. That's Batterson. And in this book, he helps us to learn how to understand our journey and how to draw circles, prayer circles, around the things that are significant to us. So Moira, I know you're a big journaling gal, that you mm-hmm. like to do that in the morning. And that's basically what he is telling us here. Start drawing circles around the things that are important, your dreams, your aspirations, the challenges that you have. And what he means by drawing those circles is just praying around those things every single day, so that you can have a new insight into how God is moving in your life. So that's one, The Circle Maker. I really, really love that.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. The second book I'm reading is called The Agenda of Angels. And the reason, and this is all new to me, this mm-hmm. book is brand new to me, and this book was written by Kevin Zadai, Zadai. And this is a book that he got downloaded to him. Now, I know it's going to sound wild and crazy, but he died when he was 19. And he went to heaven, and he was taught in heaven by Yeshua himself. And then he was given an opportunity to either stay in heaven or to come back to earth. And if he came back to earth, Yeshua told him that he would be given a permission at some point to share everything that he learned. But he had to wait 23 years. So he had to hold all of this in his heart for 23 years. But he, in this book, The Agenda of Angels, helps you to understand that before we were ever born, I just think this is so beautiful. Before we were ever born, God wrote a book specifically on each one of us. Hmm. And that in that book is our purpose, is our destiny, is the blessings that God wants to give us. And the angels that are assigned to us are warriors and messengers to guide us to complete our book while we're here on earth. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
I'm not really sure what my book says, but I want to be guided and influenced so that I can have a greater impact while I'm here on the mm-hmm. lives that I touch. So that's the second book. So it's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And then, that sounds like it.
Yeah. And then the third book that I'm reading right now is called The Courts of Heaven. And thinking about, in this gentleman who wrote the book, his name is Robert Henderson. And he's been in the ministry for many, many years, I think 40 plus years. And a few years ago, when his family started going through challenges, I mean, major challenges, he was doing everything that he knew to do, to pray and to reach out and to seek God, and nothing changed. And all of a sudden, God started downloading to him some information about the courts of heaven and how to present your case before the court and who sits behind the bench but the judge. And who is the judge? The judge is God. And who is our advocate? It is Yeshua. Because every day we have an accuser who is saying things to us in our own head and even saying things to God about each one of us, because we have given the accuser, Satan, an open door to accuse us for certain things. And I always wondered, I know this is getting super spiritual, but I always wondered why God, in the book of Job, why would God allow Satan to have access in heaven and accuse Job of things? And it was like, I never understood that, but I understand it now, that can take place in heaven if we have opened certain doors, but we have an advocate, and that advocate is Yeshua. And that advocate goes before the judge, his father, and says, this is my child. This is the case that we want to present to you, judge. And we want you to render a positive verdict in our case because, and that's part of the book, learning the because. So those are the three heavy duty things that I'm doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, those are some pretty heavy duty books. Hopefully you find time to read some novels or, you know, something a little bit lighter, like, you know, a cookbook or something. I mean, those are, but again, I, you know, love that about you, because you are such a wealth of knowledge in regards to, again, a spiritual walk and faith, you know, as well as, you know, you've helped me so much in my wellness business and helping to share what you know about natural remedies, natural healing. And again, I do believe that there are, you know, there's something to be said for your faith component when you're trying to get better, if you will, when you're trying to heal. I read a book many years ago that was called Gray Matter. And I mentioned that, I think, to someone else in another recording that I did. But I picked it up kind of by, because it seemed intriguing to me. It's written by a neurosurgeon. And, you know, I'm a nurse by, you know, my degree's in nursing. And so I love that medicine part of it. But it was about a physician, a neurosurgeon, who started to pray with his patients. And I believe he was a Jewish physician too. And the power of prayer, and it's a fascinating book because of, again, what happened when, I mean, he used to pray inside, you know, he prayed by himself before he'd go, you know, into the room or past the curtain, because he just felt a little embarrassed. He wasn't sure how the patient would take it. Mm-hmm. And then he started to ask the patient if he could pray with them before surgery. And oh boy, the power of prayer, the power of forgiveness. I mean, it's really something. And again, there are many that don't believe, but boy, when you hear stories of just, of again, the power of someone saying a prayer for you or asking for forgiveness or forgiving you for something, there's power in there that you can't deny. And again, I've felt those wonderful, the power of prayer in my journey here, you know, the prayer by people like you and my other prayer warriors. So those are awesome books. And I'll make sure I put those in the show notes so people know they don't have to go and rewind and listen again. We'll put them all in the show notes so that they can have those. So I just thank you for being with me today, Elena. I'm grateful that you're in my life.
I feel the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you have any last parting words that you'd like to to leave our audience with as we wrap this up?
Well, I would just like to, just to encourage people that God is alive and that he truly wants to connect with his people and give us a path toward victory. Mm-hmm. And I feel very, very strong about that. I'm very grateful for that. And it's just what we have available to us. And it's unfortunate that oftentimes we don't take advantage of it.
Right, right, exactly. Are you open to sharing how people could, contact you if I just have people share like where they are, if they're on social media, if they happen to be on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn, because many times my listeners really love what they hear and they want to, even if it's just a reach out to say thank you for sharing what you've shared. Can you share where people can find you?
Yes, so I am on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram and in LinkedIn. So they can find me just by using my name.
Okay. All right. So I will also put that in the show notes too, so that people know how that is spelled. So again, thank you again for being with me. Thank you for sharing. Again, thank you for sharing with me prior to this and just introducing me to just a new way of deepening my faith and being connected to my God and our God, who I believe, again, continues to have the path set out for us. And although I don't always understand it, I know that I do believe, and he can guide us with our life. So thanks again. Thanks everybody for listening. Really glad that you continue to come back and listen, and hope that you continue to be blessed by this hopeful podcast in your life. So take care. Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM at Green Gorski, or email me at moira@gorskiwellness.com. Moira spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you, and take care.